Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, global tribe of disruptors, wherever you may be. Hello, it's Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatics. Today's show is episode 119, Mothers and Men, Moms and Sons. You can catch all 118 episodes on Podomatic and on iTunes. You're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. I'm Coach Nick, author, speaker, and facilitator around transformational and leadership topics, and a committed disruptor, I guarantee it. Why we're here? To awaken humanity, awaken people, so everyone gets to leave their mark. I deliver transformation and disruption in the areas of leadership development, corporate culture, team dynamics, and personal development. And I run a Dudes of Disruption men's group here in New York City. If you want to know more about our Dudes of Disruption men's group, email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. Today we're talking about mothers and sons, right? We're talking about mothers and sons?
Those mothers, those sons. What are you going to do with them?
And that's Sam Leibowitz.
I know that, dude.
And Sam is the conscious consultant. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Nick. Been a while since we had you here in studio. Good to see you again.
I know. It's good to be back. It's good to be back on the waves, the airwaves,
yeah.
That is. So today's show, Sam, is Mothers and Sons. And I thought it was appropriate because we just had Mother's Day.
Yeah.
And I realized, you know, we have 118 episodes. This is episode 119.
Right.
And I realized in the 118 episodes, the Dudes of Disruption have never done a show on mothers. We've done shows on women,
yeah,
our relationship to women, our relationship to sex, our relationship to dating, to marriage.
Yeah, yeah.
We've never done a show where we talked about dudes and their relationship to their mothers.
And that's a very, very, very important relationship.
I think so too. So I figured, you know, why not? It was Mother's Day just a few days ago. I went to see my mom. I thought we would do a show on Mother's Day. So, Sam, we start every show with a quote or a sentiment or an expression that helps create a content. So let me share this quote. Mother is her son's first God. She must teach him the most important lesson of all, how to love.
Ooh.
Mother is her son's first God. She must teach him the most important lesson of all, how to love. What do you think about that, Sammy?
I think that's a beautiful one. And absolutely, because the primary bond between mother and child, whether it's a son or daughter,
yes,
it's always with the mother. It's not with the father. As much as dads are important, they're not the ones who gave birth. They're not. They're not really the ones rearing the child.
Yes.
Unless the exceptions, artificial insemination for a gay couple or something like that.
Yes.
But just in general, right? And,
yes.
And most common. So yeah, that bond is about teaching the baby, the child, the dude.
The little dude,
mini dude, about connection.
Yes.
And I mean, what is love but connection?
It is
a connection on a very deep level.
Yes. So I mentioned my mom, and the quote I just shared had to do with love, and you just mentioned love and connection, and the child-son-mother relationship is generally our first. There's lots of research that highlights the importance of the mother relationship to their son. And I'm going to share some of that research because the mom and son relationship is usually, in fact, if not always, the first major relationship a son will establish in the world. And so that's really, really important. So my mom is Irene. She is 87.
Ooh, go Irene.
Turning 88. And to your point, Sam, just to ride your coattails, my mom, when I was 7 years old, my mom was pregnant with my sister. And the night that she was going to give birth, we were in my parents' kitchen, and I was really nervous. Mm. I could tell as a 7-year-old something was up, right? Like something was happening. Dad's acting freaky, although he kind of acted freaky all the time, but even more so than usual. Mom's acting kind of freaky. He was pretty grounded. Clearly, she was pregnant. They had prepared me that, you know, we were having a new person coming into the home, and they had called the, you know, the cab, and, you know, they were like, you know, the bag was packed. And so I was nervous as a seven-year-old. And I remember that my mom, and here's my mom, you know, she's about to give birth, right? She's got a seven-year-old. She's got a husband who's a nervous Nelly. She's about to give birth and go through this, you know, physical experience. And I brought her my dinosaur book, which was my favorite book at the time, right?
Yeah.
And my mom sat down with me in the midst of this chaos and running around and trying to figure out if everything is packed and, you know, is everything in its appropriate place. She sat down with me and read the dinosaur book.
Wow.
So to your point about that moms are usually the first person who show you how to love and show you the importance of having a deep, meaningful connection. In that moment, what my mom did was create safety. She level set everything for me because she got that I was nervous. And I think part of what love really is, I mean, or one way to express it is operating outside of yourself. You know, it's that the game, quote unquote, the game is bigger than you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the love is bigger than you. Now, the good news is that when you love another human and you love the relationship with that human, you tend to be included in that love and in that experience.
Yeah, yeah.
And my mom got that. My mom got that. She was playing a bigger game outside and beyond herself, which is, I have kids.
Yeah.
I have kids, and in this case, my son, and he is where he's at. And so in that moment, she created a connection, and she made sure that I was taken care of. And but that is such a great lesson that my mom taught me.
Yeah, but I think also at the same time, you can't discount how touched she must have been for you to bring her that book.
You think?
I think. Because as a small child, right, you're bringing her your favorite book, which you can be guaranteed she knew it was your favorite book.
Right.
So she was probably touched because it was your way of reaching out to her.
Yes.
Because you already had that innate bond with her.
Yes.
By 7 years old, it's already set.
Yes, absolutely.
And so she knew that as much as you were doing it for you, you were doing it for her.
Yes.
And I would not be surprised if in that moment, her sitting down and reading the book with you was just what she needed to be calm in the midst of that chaos.
That's awesome. It really taught me the lesson of the importance of playing a bigger game outside of yourself. You know, where in that moment where she could have been very self-focused, self-centered, you know, really concerned about what was going on for her, and it would have been legitimate because she's about to give birth. She really taught me that lesson of when you're playing a bigger game, regardless if it's a bigger game around a relationship, a bigger game around a team of people at work, or some, you know, community service that you're doing, like, let that lead the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let that be your North Star. And, oh, by the way, inside of that North Star, you're included in that.
Right,
that's the and that could be really powerful if we can get that as human beings. Because when we can get that we are included in loving that relationship, then it becomes less about what am I getting, what did you get. It becomes less about keeping score, and it becomes more about how do we create more? How do we connect more? How do we forge together more? How do we, you know, create magic together?
Yeah, but it's interesting because recently I had in ceremony a very big, deep insight around also acceptance. Because before you can create more, before you can do more, there has to be acceptance. And many of us live our life in reaction to our parents, those things about our parents that drive us nuts. So we push away from it. We rebel against it. We're putting away from us. But what came to me in this particular ceremony was that we can't truly love ourselves until we love where we came from, until we love our mothers and our fathers.
Yes.
And accept them the way they are.
Yes.
And in that moment, in that acceptance, it was a huge heart-opening experience for me. And so, you know, when it comes to mothers, their mothers can be our biggest triggers.
Yes.
Mothers can drive us wacky. Mothers can cause us all kinds of trauma. And in spite of that, when we look at them as human beings,
right.
as people,
right.
we don't necessarily have to love what they did.
Right.
We don't have to love the way they acted.
Or agree.
But if we can just love them for the fact that without them, we would not be here.
Yes.
We would not be here. And they are inside of us.
Yes.
Their DNA is inside of us. Their information is inside of us. To love ourselves,
yes.
we have to accept and love them.
I love it. I did a workshop years ago, a personal development workshop, and the facilitator, to your point about how, you know, moms or parents for that matter can create some of the biggest triggers for us. And someone was sharing about their mom and, you know, the mishigas between them and the facilitator, and it was so profound. They said, I want you to make a list of all the things that you love, all the things that you admire, all the things that you're proud of about yourself. I want you to make a list of all the things that are wonderful about you. And after you've made that list, I want you to write your mother's name and give her 100% credit for all of it. And it was really the message inside of it, or the context of her coaching, was really, to your point, around who you are is connected to who that woman or who your parents are.
Right.
And you want to give them their due credit, and you do want to relate to them like they're human beings as well.
Right.
So there's lots of research I mentioned that about the importance of this relationship between moms and little dudes, moms, you know, mothers and sons. So let me start to share a little bit about this, Sam. Studies indicate that sons with a deep and meaningful connection with their mothers do better academically, emotionally, behaviorally, and actually do a better job of never giving in to peer pressure.
Ah.
Or another way said, they remain authentic and true to themselves,
mm-hmm.
right? On the other hand, children who do not experience the same level of connection like I just described often grow up or have tendencies of depression, anxiety, and can be aggressive and violent. Research shows that a strong bond between men and their mothers supports boys growing up from and staying away from drugs, from alcohol, from violence, from any kind of behavior that would cause harm to themselves and to others. That's actually a lot of weight and responsibility to put on that kind of relationship.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's something I think people don't realize a lot, that you know the importance of this primary relationship is so primal and deep. It really is.
Right.
You know, they also say that the relationship between a son and his mother, the flavor or the energy around that relationship is going to be the energy around that person's relationship to relationships.
Yes.
To other people.
Yes.
How they relate to other people. Friends, lovers, partners.
Yes.
Any kinds of relationship.
Yes.
Because that is the primary relationship. That is how we learn about relationships.
So the disruption in this podcast episode, and we're talking about mothers and sons. It's episode 119. You're listening to the Due to Disruption. I'm Coach Nick. You've been listening to Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. We'll share more about his show later. The disruption, folks, is that it's never too late to have a relationship with your mom. Even if she's physically passed from the physical world.
Yes.
It's never too late. It's never, regardless of where you are on the spectrum, where you say, I have an amazing relationship, it's an okay relationship, I don't have a relationship, I don't want to have one. Wherever you are on that spectrum, it's good, you're perfect. And, what I would say is, it's never too late to have that relationship and never too late to recreate it. The disruption is to, and I think this is a little bit to your point, Sam, the disruption is to learn how you can be different with your relationship to your mom, because that may influence how you relate and how you are in relationship with other people, both at work and at home. to use that relationship, this critical relationship, mother and son, which generally is a son's first major relationship, really his first intimate relationship,
yeah,
especially even sexual relationship to some degree, yeah. If a mother breastfeeds a child, that absolutely. Is a sexual experience, and I'm not being fresh when I say that.
Right.
It's a very absolutely. Interesting, deep connection that a mom and a son have, and I really think the disruption is not to take it for granted, not to take that relationship for granted, and in fact, to use it to learn about yourself, to use it to learn about your triggers, and how to manage them differently, to learn how you can be different with your mom, therefore then apply whatever works with your mom to other relationships, both with men and with women, both at work and at home as well.
Right. And I'm sorry to say this to the dudes out there, but if you're married...
Dude.
If you're married, you married your mom.
Say more about that, Sam.
It's inevitable. Even if you're running away from it, the characteristics of your wife, the characteristics of the women you are attracted to, unconsciously, you are drawn to the same personality as your mom. So if your mom is a strong woman, you're going to like strong women. If your mom is very quiet and reserved, you're going to like quiet and reserved women. You know, it is inevitable, even if on the surface, even if in the outward appearance, they seem to be nothing like your mom. Your mom may be short and fat and your wife is tall and skinny. That has nothing to do with it. The energy around that woman,
right?
It's going to naturally attract you because that's the energy that has been your primary relationship from the time you were born.
Right. For me, energy is AKA or code for the dynamic or the experience that's created. So the experience and the dynamic that you have with your mom, there's the potential, what you're saying, that you're gonna find it in your partner.
Right.
Which, again, I think it's why another reason why it's important to tend to this very important relationship with your mom, regardless if you're 50 years old, you're 35 years old, or you're 75, and regardless if your mom is alive or has passed from the physical world, it's never too late to have a relationship. And it's important never to take that relationship with your mother for granted. Now, Sam, you've been talking a lot about the impact that a mother has on how we relate and how we interact with other human beings in the world. So research shows, again, to go back to research shows that mothers often are the one or the main person who nurture the emotional intelligence in their sons, teaching them to recognize and express their own feelings and to be more aware of and insightful and empathetic and compassionate to the feelings of others. Now, when we have a high level of emotional intelligence, this gives an individual, in this case we're talking about mothers and sons, it gives the son a great advantage and a great edge towards a successful life. You know, in the world of leadership development and organizational development, emotional intelligence is a hot topic. It's an important topic, actually. I mean, my team right now and my organization, we're developing an emotional intelligence session, and we are now, you know, going to be offering emotional intelligence tools because it's really, really important to understand who you are, to have awareness and empathy and compassion. And that relationship with your mom generally is where you will first learn that. Mm-hmm. And it does give you an edge over other folks who don't have that. So if your son, or if you as a man, as a dude, can manage your feelings in a new way while relating to and managing those of others, you definitely have the opportunity to become a leader both at home and at work and in your community. And again, I mean, for many folks who are watching and listening, EI, emotional intelligence, is a really important component to what organizations are looking for in their leaders.
Absolutely. And again, to even to help people to understand how important moms are in general, not just emotional intelligence, but academic intelligence. Academic performance has been directly tied to the mothers. They
right.
did studies, I believe, in the villages of Africa, and what they found was if they educated the men, it didn't necessarily carry over generationally.
Right.
But if they educated the women would make sure their sons and daughters were both educated.
Yes.
So that not just the emotional intelligence, but the academic intelligence is the primary a passageway for that for the children is always the mother.
Yeah, and I shared earlier that there are studies that show that sons and moms who have a deeper, more meaningful connection and closeness, they do better academically, emotionally, and behaviorally. A strong mother-son relationship, I also think, and this is part of the outcome in having a high level of emotional intelligence, it supports you as a man to resist reacting in some of what I would refer to as some of the more traditional male stereotypes, where we may withdraw or we may withhold our feelings or we may go at something alone or may, you know, disconnect and go into the cave. I believe part of what a high level of emotional intelligence provides is to do the opposite of all those things.
Right.
Which to go back to one of your original points, when you avoid the cave and you avoid going at things alone and you avoid withholding, what that all spells connection.
Right.
You know, when you're somebody who's expressing themselves, even when you're not exactly sure where you are in the process, but you're expressing yourself, when you're leaning in versus leaning out, when you're willing to jump in versus jump out, I mean, that's all what that is ultimately creating is an experience of connection. And when people feel connected to you, when they know like where you are in the process, because you're sharing with them, you're telling on yourself for that matter, what that ultimately creates is psychological and emotional safety in the relationship. So for those of you who are interested in forging stronger relationships with people at home, in your community, at work, with your teams, with the people who report to you, or with the clients that you serve, learning to create psychological and emotional safety is key to your success. And again, it goes back to your relationship with your mother. Mm-hmm. The opportunity to create a strong, meaningful bond with your mom allows you to become more in tune with your feelings and more in tune with what's happening outside of you.
Right. And as you said before, I mean, if you really want to understand yourself, you really want to look in the mirror and understand that person on the other side of the mirror, understand your mother.
Right.
Understand her hopes, dreams, desires, motivations, fears.
Right.
Worries, concerns. And ultimately, you know, the mother is the one who gives that unconditional love,
yes,
to a child.
You, yes,
know, we've all heard the cliches of the mother giving her life to save her child and doing all kinds of amazing things when the child was in danger. And it's not something they have to think about. It's instinctual.
Right. Right. Exactly. Well, and I think unconditional love sometimes gets a bad rap.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, sometimes we look at unconditional love, or I've heard folks say, you know, oh, the person's being a martyr or they're not taking care of themselves. You know, and I just want, again, I want to offer a disruption here, which is, you know, when a mom offers unconditional love, I mean, part of what she's saying is that you matter. You know, part of what she's saying is, I notice you. You know, part of what she's saying, or the experience that it might leave you with when someone is giving you unconditional love, is that I'm not keeping score.
Right.
It's actually teaching you the lesson of contribution. Right. It's teaching you the lesson of how to be giving to other people,
right,
without keeping score or without having this thing called, well, I did this for you, now you do this for me. You know,
right,
I'll scratch your back versus I'll scratch your back. There's something really, really delicious and awesome about just having somebody unconditionally want to do something for you. In this case, it might just be offering you love.
And unconditional does not mean the person does not take care of themselves.
Correct, yes.
It just means they put no conditions on how they feel about,
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a really, really great point. Let me share one last piece of data here, Sam, which is we've been talking about how the mother-son relationship, when healthy, offers benefits in academia, emotional intelligence, behavioral. So let me talk more about behavioral now, which is a close mother-son relationship is important to a son's mental health. Mm. And their mental outlook. So a study presented by the American Psychological Association showed that boys who are close to their mothers tend to not buy into or reject even some of the traditional masculine stereotypes, where again, where you know, some of those traditional masculine stereotypes may include things like striking out violently or physically, or withdrawing your feelings, withdrawing completely and disconnecting and going to the proverbial cave, right? So sons who have a strong relationship with their mothers tend to reject some of those traditional masculine stereotypes. They don't believe, for example, that you always have to act tough or go at it alone or fight to prove your manhood, whatever that even means sometimes, whenever you're challenged, right? There's, you know, instead of fighting when you're challenged, you might want to negotiate. You might actually want to be in an inquiry and find out, well, why am I being challenged? So what the American Psychological Association showed is that the boys who have a strong relationship with their mom remain more emotionally open. And not only do they have better friendships, but also, and I said this earlier in a different study, less anxiety and less depression than some of their peers who had less of a connection with their mothers.
And just about any major antisocial behavior that we've seen of kids acting out in school with guns and things like that, if there was a good, none of them had a good relationship with their mother. That down to a T, if the son has a good relationship with their mother, those antisocial behaviors almost totally disappear.
Right. So here's a question for the disruptors out there who are watching and soon to be listening on the podcast episode, which you can find, Due to Disruption, on Podomatic and on iTunes. The question for you disruptors out there is, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being on the high end, 1 being on the low end, 10 being, I have a fantabulous, unbelievable connection with my mom, 1, I forgot her name, and I forgot that it was Mother's Day this past Sunday. What is the relationship that you have with your mom? And really answer the question without any judgment, regardless if you score it a 10 or you score a 4 or somewhere in between. Because when we start to judge our score, whatever it may be, with any question for that matter, when we start to judge, we disconnect. We take ourselves off the hook, in fact, actually. We don't take even responsibility for the experience that we're creating. And so, not from a right or wrong, good or bad, positive or negative place, what's the score on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being on the high end, your relationship with your mom? Because that's an important relationship. So regardless of where you are, including if you're a 10, how do you move it up by half a point? So you've been listening to Coach Nick and the Due to Disruption. You can catch us on all kinds of social media. Due to Disruption on Facebook, on Twitter, it's DOD Talk Radio. If you want to know more about how to get coaching, individual executive coaching, you can email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. We also have a men's group here in New York City. If you want to join our men's group, you can email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. Again, this is episode 119, which is Mothers and Sons. You can catch the other 118 Dudes of Disruption episodes on Podomatic and on iTunes. So we are getting to that point, Sam, where we're doing parting shots. And I'd like to give you our guest. So we've been listening to Sam Leibowitz, the conscious consultant. Sam, how can folks find your radio show?
My radio show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, airs every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. on www.talkradio.nyc. And my parting shot is, even the little things matter. Even at 98 years old,
right,
my mom was touched to receive a Mother's Day card from me in the mail when she's way out in Israel.
Yes.
So even that, it doesn't have to be a big thing, doesn't have to be a huge effort. Even those little thoughtful things can make a big difference in your mother's life.
I love it. My parting shot is, one morning, so I'm divorced, Sam. I have two sons, two young sons. One is 8, one is 4. I have a new partner who has a daughter. And so the 5 of us are eating breakfast, or I should say the 4 of us are eating breakfast, and my partner, she is in the kitchen, just finished making breakfast. Mm-hmm. She comes in, the 4 of us, which is my two sons, her daughter, and myself, we're sitting stuffing our faces. Mm-hmm. Our heads are buried in this delicious brunch that my partner has just made. And she's standing next to me. She's probably, a few inches away from me. She's standing. The chair is pulled into the table, right, if you can get that visual. And the 4 of us are just checked out.
Mm.
And my youngest son, the 4-year-old, He pulls his chair out, and he comes around the table, and I start to watch this, and he passes me, and he kind of asks my partner to sort of excuse herself and take a step back, and he pulls the chair out.
Young gentleman already.
And that is a sign of a high level of emotional intelligence.
Absolutely.
Because what emotional intelligence is about is being aware of yourself, being aware of your triggers, being aware of what turns you on even and what inspires you and what also frustrates you and what gets you angry. And it's also being aware of your surroundings. Emotional intelligence is about actually being outwardly focused and connected. And all those skills that that four-year-old learned is because of his connection and strong bond with his mother. And so to me, staying connected to your mom and in constant communication with her, i.e. like you with your 97-year-old mom, me with my 87-year-old mom visiting her on Mother's Day, you foster your emotional intelligence. This will give you the skills necessary not only for communication, but also for the courage and the ability to choose what you do that is right for you and that speaks to you and that is authentic to you. This kind of emotional connection helps to support you emotionally, mentally. It reduces your anxiety. It reduces your depression. By modeling for your son the importance of being in touch with his feelings and emotions, you're actually preparing him for his future as a friend, as a partner, as a husband, as a father, as a leader, as an employee. It is critical to have this relationship, so tend to it. Pay attention to your relationship with your mother. You've been listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. You can catch the Dudes of Disruption podcast on iTunes and on Podomatic. Email me if you want more information about coaching or about our men's group, Coach Nick at CoachNick.com. Check us out on Facebook, Dudes of Disruption. And we end every episode like we have all the other 118, a Dr. Seuss quote, "Don't cry because it's over. Smile, big smile, because it happened."